Welcome to Rich Answers. My name is Reverend Lydell Brown, and I will be your host today. Today we have as our guest Dr. Mark Lalonde, who is the professor and chairman of the Department of Genetics and also the professor at the University of Connecticut School of Medicine, where he is the head of the Department for Stem Cell Research. Welcome, Dr. Lalonde.
Thank you, Reverend Brown.
So I want to get right into it. Exactly what are stem cells?
Stem cells are cells that can repopulate a tissue or a group of cells. For example, we have in our bone marrow, all of us, stem cells that continuously repopulate our blood cell populations, white and red cells, because those cells have a lifetime of anywhere from a few weeks to a few months, and they need to be replenished. And to replenish them, we have these stem cells. So the stem cells sit there. They don't really have a function except to monitor what's going on and then make more copies of what are going to become really functional blood cells. So that's a stem cell. What is of great interest are stem cells that can repopulate not only something like the blood, but all the tissues that make up the human body. So there are about 200 different tissues or types of cells that, you know, that in our brain and our eyes and our skin, and there are stem cell populations for all of those when we're very early as embryos. But as we grow into adults, some of the cells are much more long-lived, and we don't need stem cells for each of the 200 lineages, but we do need stem cells when we develop as an embryo for all these different lineages. And that's called pluripotency, or totally, in other words, pluripotent means many different potentials to become. So what the great interest around stem cells are these pluripotent stem cells, because whether they're derived from the embryo, and we can get into that, or derived from other sources, they can essentially give rise to all of the 200 different lineages. Whereas if we go into more specialized stem cells, they might only give rise to things, lineages like the blood.
Gotcha. So what are the potential, what's the potential for new medical treatments using stem cells?
So the potential for new medical treatments is to replace diseased cells or repair injuries. So, for example, if we think of something like Parkinson's disease, which is a disease where we've actually lost, these patients have lost neurons that produce dopamine. You have a couple of different options. One is to give dopamine back to people.
Okay.
And that's what they've been doing generally for Parkinson's for many years. And, you know, it certainly has benefit, but it's not a cure. A cure would be is if you could actually inject into a patient cells that would stay there and produce dopamine, you know, for long periods of time. Then you would achieve essentially a cure. So that would be one application of stem cells for Parkinson's disease. And it's a very active area of research because Parkinson's disease is a very severe disease. And there are other examples. If we think of repair of injury, another thing is if you think of a bone fracture where you lose, for example, a large chunk of bone.
Okay.
And you have different ways to approach that. You could put in artificial devices to try to make up the loss of bone. But another approach is to use stem cells and sort of maybe you build a little system where that you could grow stem cells on. Those stem cells would become bone, and essentially you'd refabricate bone. So those are a couple of the therapeutic approaches for stem cell research.
Okay. So what type of research is needed to make such treatments a reality as far as other diseases and other maladies that are coming forward?
So the type of research, I guess, at one level is what we call basic. We need to understand how stem cells work. So we have to understand what keeps them as stem cells. Mm-hmm. And then if we want to drive them down in a particular lineage, we need to understand how that's done and then develop ways to do that, for example, outside the body or inside the body. So there's a lot of research that's going on all over the world to understand, okay, how do stem cells work? What differentiates a stem cell from a cell that, for example, a mature bone cell? How do I get a stem cell that's basically just a sort of a little factory that divides and makes more copies of itself? How do I drive it down to become a bone cell or a brain cell or a blood cell? So the research is really at that level, basic or fundamental, you know, to give us a fundamental understanding of stem cells. The other aspect of research is more in therapy. How do you take stem cells, for example, in a tube, and introduce them into a patient or an individual? So you can if you're giving someone a pill, you just give them a pill. They have the pill. And,
gotcha.
If it's cells, it's much more challenging because the individual has an immune system.
Mm-hmm.
Stem cells, if they're not sent down a particular lineage, is if they really stay at stem cells and you don't control them, they can potentially become tumors. So you always have to be concerned about, am I putting in, do I know these cells are going to do what I want? In other words, go down a lineage of a brain or a blood versus turning into tumors. So there are a couple of challenges at the therapeutic stage of what we call cell therapy. In other words, using stem cells for a therapy of disease. Nonetheless, that work is underway. There are clinical trials in the United States and other countries, for example, to treat certain forms of blindness using stem cells that are actually going to be put into the patient's eyes. There are clinical trials out there for spinal injuries. Obviously, spinal cord injuries would be a huge advance if you could use stem cells to regenerate the cells that have been severed in a spinal injury. So there's, on one hand, fundamental research, and on the other hand is the beginnings of clinical trials, and that's going to help us understand what are the challenges that need to be addressed for using stem cells.
Sounds so intriguing. So are there any other dangers with using stem cells for research?
Well, the other dangers I mentioned is, since the individual has an immune system, if the stem cell is seen, or the stem cell is given from someone else, they're essentially foreign. So you either have to control the immune system of the individual who receives the stem cells, or you have to try to mask the stem cells from the immune system. Because if the recipient attacks the stem cells, then that's not going to be an effective therapy. And if those stem cells turn into, for example, immune cells and attack the patient, that's going to be another complication. So I would say that in addition to the we need to worry about whether these things potentially could become tumors, we always have to play with the immune system, which is why ideally you would use, for example, in bone marrow transplantation, sometimes using the person's own cells to cure them. So then there's no difference that you're using yourself. So.
Gotcha. Once again, this is Rich Answers, and our guest today has been Dr. Mark Lalonde, who has been educating us about STEM research. Thanks so much for being our guest today.
Thank you very much, Reverend.
Welcome back to Rich Answers. We are going to continue our most interesting interview with Dr. Mark Lalonde on stem cell research. Welcome again.
Thank you, Reverend Brown.
So my next question for you is, what are your views on the religious views that have come out on stem cell research?
Yes, I think there's been controversy in stem cell research has been mainly focused on what we call embryonic stem cells.
Okay.
So these stem cells are derived from human embryos that are, the main source of those are embryos that have been derived by in vitro fertilization. And these are donated to research, and those are used as a source of stem cells.
Mm-hmm.
And they're called embryonic stem cells because they come from an embryo. So obviously, to get those cells, the embryo is destroyed. So there are, depending on religious beliefs, if a particular religion believed that life begins at conception or after a few divisions of the embryo, then you could see where that would raise some controversy, because that would essentially, for individuals with those beliefs, that would be you're destroying a human life.
Sure.
Now, there are many different religions, and some of them define beginning of life later. Okay. For example, you know, at certain number of weeks or days after conception. So those in those cases, there's less controversy. But nonetheless, especially in the United States and a few other countries, the use of embryonic stem cells continues to be a very controversial topic. And it's a debate that should be had, and it's a debate that, you know, have some people on one side and you have some people on the other. There is no doubt that there's a potential for enormous medical advances for using these cells. But the fact that there are embryos involved has caused, even at the federal level, the sort of federal funding for stem cell research to sort of come and go, depending on, for example, the president of the United States, what the belief of the president of the United States is.
Understand.
So George W. Bush, his approach was that there would be no longer any new embryonic cells derived that could receive federal funding. Now, again, this is not a prohibition of research. Mm-hmm. It's we will not provide federal funding for any new human embryos to be used in stem cell research. When President Obama came in, he changed that executive order and said, no, we will allow more embryonic stem cells under certain conditions.
Sure.
But under a lot of conditions,
okay.
In fact.
Okay.
We will allow new human embryonic stem cells lines to be derived. And so the number grew in the United States from about a dozen or so embryonic stem cell lines that were eligible for federal funding to now over 100. And for example, we at the University of Connecticut have contributed 4 of the human embryonic stem cell lines that are what's called the registry that are now permitted. These are lines that are approved for federal funding of human embryonic stem cell research. There have been court challenges to this approach, and I think that right now we're a bit of a situation where scientists are more reluctant to use embryonic stem cells than before because they're concerned that, you know, they'll start a research project, the law will be changed, or there'll be a challenge to the law, or there'll be a new government or a new president, and that the opportunity for federal funding will go away again.
I understand.
So that it has built up, I think, in the scientific community, research community. I think people are really think twice about whether they're going to use human embryonic stem cells in a particular research project. But right now, today, human embryonic stem cells are the ones that are going to be used in therapy. That those are the only ones being used in therapy.
Okay.
Now, what has happened since 2007 is that there's another technology that's come along. And what this technology is, it's called we induce stem cells. So what we do is we take, and we're doing this at the University of Connecticut and Yale and other places in Connecticut. We can start with the skin or the blood of an individual and actually what we call reprogram those blood or skin cells into cells that essentially, for all we know, have the same properties as human embryonic stem cells. In other words, we can get around the embryo.
Wow.
To make human embryonic stem cells, cells that are just functionally like human embryonic stem cells, starting from an individual's skin or blood or perhaps other tissues. And you can see the advantage of that right away is, A, you're getting around embryos, so there's obviously not going to be anywhere near the level of controversy.
Exactly.
From essentially any religious group. And secondly, down the road, once this the technology needs to evolve a little bit. Down the road, you could be actually using an individual's cells back into the individual. In other words, you'd get around this problem of the immune response because you could start, for example, take one of my skin cells, make one of these stem cell lines, and then use them back in the same patient for therapy. This is potentially is an incredibly important discovery. The problem right now for therapy is the way we make the cells. We couldn't really use them for therapy because the way they're made is using agents that they can change the genome, that it can actually, you know, they integrate into the cell.
And when you say genome, what do you mean by
that? I mean by all the DNA in the cell. So we're, you know, the DNA that we inherited, basically we don't want to perturb in any way. Mm-hmm. And right now, these cells are made in a way that the DNA of the stem cells will be perturbed. But that technology is advancing very rapidly, and I think there'll be a time within the next few years where we will not need to, the technology will be so advanced that we will not be in any way disrupting the DNA that's in those stem cells. And I think that, that those will then be offer a therapeutic, we can use them for therapy without having used embryos and getting around the problems associated with the immune response. So I think this is over the horizon, a huge development in stem cell research.
Wonderful. So what are your views? Because you've been kind of broad. You've been talking about, you know, overall. What are your views as far as ethical issues around stem cell research?
Well, I think for me, it's, you know, these diseases are so devastating. Parkinson's disease, ALS, and diabetes. You know, I think that the potential for stem cell therapy is so important for these diseases and for human health that I think we need to pursue it. So for me, the ethical dilemma is if someone has a disease for which we have no cure, it's our duty to look for a cure for that disease. And so if that involves human embryonic stem cells, then I think it's so important to cure the disease that we have to do everything we can to cure this disease. And so that's been the driving force for our research. But again, the technology is evolving. And I really think that within the next 5 years, stem cell research will not be controversial. Stem cell research, there'll be other things that'll be much more controversial than stem cell research. So in my opinion, the worst is over. I mean, I think the worst of the controversy is over. I think, you know, the technology, essentially technology will take the ethical issues away.
Wonderful, wonderful. Once again, this has been Rich Answers, and our guest today has been Dr. Mark Lalonde. Once again, we want to thank you for stopping by and educating our listeners on STEM research.
Thank you very much, Reverend Brown.
Welcome back to Rich Answers. Again, we have Dr. Mark Lalonde, who is here talking about stem cell research. So welcome back, Dr. Lalonde.
Thank you, Reverend Brown.
So in this last segment, what I want to talk about is Connecticut and the work that is being done here in Connecticut, being that there's so much talk about stem cell research. Exactly where is Connecticut when it comes to this intriguing research?
So just to remind the listeners, so Connecticut has had a stem cell passed legislation that allowed human embryonic stem cell research back in several years ago, 6-7 years ago, and also put on the table $100 million over 10 years to spur stem cell research in Connecticut. And quite frankly, there was very little human stem cell research or human embryonic stem cell research going on in Connecticut at all. And the state therefore decided to make an investment because it saw this as an important area for the health of Connecticut residents and obviously residents elsewhere. And that program is now 7 years old. Mm. So there's been $70 million doled out for research in human stem cells, mostly around either embryonic or more recently these induced stem cells that we can make from skin and blood that have the same properties of human embryonic stem cells that we talked about a little earlier. Mm-hmm. And that money has essentially gone to the University of Connecticut, to Yale University, about in equal amounts, and also to Wesleyan University. Okay. So those have been the big participants. And also one company has received funding to do, stem cell research aimed towards, making chondrocytes cartilage from human embryonic stem cells. So what's happened because of that, the universities have invested in that. So we've built up at the University of Connecticut and Yale, stem cell centers. So one is in Farmington at the University of Connecticut Health Center, and we have a center there that can train people in how to manipulate human pluripotent stem cells. That's where they make these induced pluripotent stem cells from different patients, the skin cells of different patients or the blood cells. They have the same thing at Yale. So the universities have invested into actual bricks and mortar to set these centers up. Also to recruit then these specialists from all around the world to come and work in Connecticut. So what you have is a program that was essentially non-existent 7 years ago and now is built up to international recognition. That Connecticut is a state that's recognized around the world as being permissive to stem cell research. The scientists at UConn Health Center and UConn and Yale publish in international journals on stem cell research. Have had some very high-level publications. So Connecticut is contributing very substantially to everything that's going on in the stem cell research around the world. And we're now going to see this company, as well as some others, that are actually going to start moving towards clinical applications of stem cell research. And I think this fits in well with the governor's and the legislator's bioscience plan for Connecticut. As you know, there's a huge investment at UConn Health Center in what's called Connecticut Bioscience to build up the hospital and the School of Medicine and research. Okay. And this is in phase with what the state wants to do, wants to move research into so that it has some impact on economic development and the economic health of the state, both around Farmington and New Haven and around stores. And I think that the success of the stem cell research program is one reason that the state sees bioscience as a great investment. So I think it's been a very successful program. And it's also what attracted the Jackson Lab from Bar Harbor, Maine to come to Farmington and build a research facility to do personalized medicine. So, and some aspects of personalized medicine are related to stem cell research. So I think there's been a tremendous success not only in research, but also economically of this, for this program.
In our prior segment, you spoke about the government actually funding this great work. What are your views as far as corporate funding?
Well, corporate funding is very important, is that when you take a research discovery and you actually want to move it to the patient, for example, in the area of cell therapy, where we mentioned before, well, you're actually going to inject stem cells into a patient or cells that derive from stem cells into a patient to have a cure, it's really important to have corporate interests, because those what are called clinical trials, actually trying these cells in patients, are extremely expensive. And it's really private financing in the United States that has driven clinical trials. And so to take a discovery that you make in a test tube that you then test in a mouse, a stem cell discovery, all the way to a patient is a very expensive and long process. And I think one reason in the United States we've been so successful at developing different therapies is the involvement of private concerns. So it is critical to the overall success of stem cell research.
I understand. So if our listeners wanted to find out more info on stem cell research, where would they start?
Well, you can start with Google. Okay. It's where everybody can start. Mm-hmm. But you know, there's a website at the Department of Public Health. If they go there, there's a whole website on stem cells that explains what the state's involvement has been in this, the state stem cell fund, what's being done around the state. And if you just come to the University of Connecticut or Yale or Wesleyan's sites, our state universities, our major research universities in the state, and type in stem cell, those will take you to appropriate links where you can find out what individual universities are doing. So I think there's a lot of information out there.
Wonderful. Again, our guest has been Dr. Mark Lalonde, who has educated myself and also the listeners today on stem cell research. Thank you so much for coming by and speaking with our listeners here at the Conference of Churches.
Thank you very much for having me, Reverend Brown. Thank you.